to stop socializing. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I have the privilege and honor today, he's not really family in blood, but I get to introduce part of our family and part of our district. I have to tell you, so much I know you don't see of what our district does for us, but if you knew all of the support and prayers and financial support, just everything, our district loves us and they support us. And so I'm here to introduce or reacquaint you with Jake Cordell, and I want to welcome him and let him greet you.
Good morning.
There we go.
Well, I just looked at my calendar and realized that 2 years ago today was our first Sunday here.
Oh my goodness.
It happened to be the morning of 9/11, and it was a really, because it's my son's birthday as well, so it was that was a cool Sunday. And for those of you who don't know, my wife and I senior pastored here for 8 months, and the greatest legacy that we have left here is that John and Janice Stallings came to the church.
Aww.
But we are very excited. Fill you guys in a little bit. We have moved to North Carolina. Jack just had his birthday. He's 5. Channing is 3, and Oliver's 1. Oliver is officially ours.
Oh,
and,
yay!
We adopted a little boy while we were pastoring here. We told God we could either adopt or we could pastor if He told us to do both, and so we listened. And but we are very excited. All of our kids are near their grandparents, which is always a good thing. And so we're back at home for us, which is Carolina.
Say hello to you guys as well. And I just want to thank you guys for those that you've been here over the 2 years. It's been a long 2 years and trying and lots of things. And we didn't always do everything right, but we're working on trying to help this church get to the next place. And we believe and we support your pastors and love these guys dearly. And I remember sitting at Cracker Barrel with them in November. They were on their way on vacation, and they prayed about whether this was going to be their home or not, and so was so excited when they said yes, and excited when they stayed, and then excited for this new season of what God has for you guys and for this church. So we love you guys, and thank you. So Pastor Janice, I want to pray over you guys. So John, Janice, come on up here. I pray about you guys. I pray for you guys often. My wife and I, we learned a lot while we were here, and it was a lot of fun, and we learned a lot. We were stretched a lot and grew a lot during that time, and so we continue to pray for you guys and believe the best, because I know that that this church is called to reach this city, in this area, and no matter what the devil has planned, God's plans are greater and higher, and as long as we continue to seek Him, we will begin to see that happen, and sometimes change has to happen before you can get into the place where God has for you. So, Lord, we thank you for this couple. Lord, we thank you that almost 2 years ago, they said yes to come here to serve, to come here and to pour out their hearts alongside of Lindsay and I. And Lord, who would have thought that 2 years later, here they stand as the senior pastors of Life Church. And Lord, we thank you for their leadership. Thank you for their grace. Personally, thank you for bringing them alongside of me during the time that I was here, just to love on me and support me. Lord, I'm grateful for them and their friendship. And Lord, I pray for this congregation. Lord, I believe this city, Lord, there's been many things that have been done over the years within this city and these counties that has allowed Satan to have a foothold on this city, Lord. And I believe that this city is the eastern gate of Atlanta, Lord, and I believe that this church is called to be a lighthouse within this community. And Lord, I speak for lives that will be transformed, people that are going to come back to you or come to you for the first time. And Lord, they may never step foot inside of this building, but Lord, the church, not the building, but the church, the people are going to be lighthouses all over this community, reaching thousands for you. And we ask this all in your precious name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
All right, let's just pray before we have the word this morning. Father, we thank you. We are so honored by your purposes in this place. Lord, I just ask you now to speak your word strongly. I pray that our hearts are fertile ground. And I pray, God, that we would just take off anything that would, any distractions or any preconceived ideas, God, of what church is. I pray, Lord, that you would just birth visions and dreams individually in us, God. We thank you for this word today. We thank you that you are, God, a loving, fatherly, daddy God. We thank you for that. We just give this time to you in Jesus' name. I have to tell you, I was, after the messages, we've been teaching and talking a lot about mission and vision and what the purpose of Life Church is, and we've been teaching the series on the Holy Spirit, and we've done all that, and I thought, God, I just kind of want to go in and be pastorly. I want to go in and do a kind of a cushy, sweet, loving, make you feel good service, and I guess I'm going to do that, but it might be a little bit different than what that cushy, sweet feeling that I thought I had. And I have to dedicate part of this to Miss Lavinia. Where's Miss Lavinia? Because, yes, ma'am, because one time in a women's ministry session that we were having, I said, I used the word abide, and that was not my message for that day. And I said, oh, that would be a really good message. So today we're talking about abiding, because she kept saying, I want to hear that message. I want to hear that message about abiding. So I'm going to start off by teaching you a little bit about abiding, but I have to tell you, and Jake, I've said this before, I was never evangelistic, never, I really wasn't. I was the children's minister, I was the person that kind of floated around and smiled and greeted everybody and made everybody feel wonderful about being at church and welcomed, and I was that, and then I don't know what happened to me, but when I kind of stepped into this position, something kind of came over me, and this passion for evangelism, I just can't stop thinking about it. It's 24/7, so that's going to come out in this message, even though it's about abiding. But let's talk about abiding for a minute. Abiding. The Greek for abiding, the word is meno, which means, now listen to this, to remain, to last, to endure, not to perish, to be held, kept continually, not to depart, but here's my favorite one, to remain as one, to remain as one. Now, as we talk about this message, you're going to see why that's important. There are two parts to consider in the word about abiding. We have to abide in Christ, but then also Christ's promise to us is that he's going to abide in us. So let's look at a couple of scriptures so we can see what that means. John 8, 31 and 32. And it says, Jesus, therefore, was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, what did it say? In my word. If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Very, very important. Then turn over to John 15. And verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. There's that dual abiding. As the branch, now this is important, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified. How many of you would like to see God glorified in this church? Amen. And in this community? Amen. Yes. So what does it say, though? If, remember we talked about those if-then statements? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, what does the next line say? Okay, y'all got to talk louder. What does it say? Ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done. Thank you, Miss Dorothy. I heard that said with authority. Ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done. Now, that is not saying, we're not saying just, you know, okay, I'm going to go out there. I'd love to have a, you know, a home in the islands as my vacation spot. It doesn't say just frivolous. But if we're abiding in the Word, God is going to put the desires of our heart are going to line up perfectly with His desires for our life. And then we know what to ask for. We ask for it and it'll be done. But there's that if-then statement. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Okay, so important. Let me just go through a couple of things. I want to keep rushing to the last part of this, because I want to really put something in your hearts. But how do we abide? How do we abide? We have to stay in God's Word. We are so busy and it's so easy to neglect that and say, well, I'll do my Bible study later. And later comes, well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll start over. You put it aside and put it aside, and it never comes. We have to read the Word. We have to know the promises or the biblical. You know, there are biblical laws that God has put into place. An example of those, what you sow, you reap. If I plant apple seeds, what am I going to get? Apples. Well, it works the same way with other things. Like, if I sow gossip, we're going to reap gossip. On the other hand, if I sow love, what am I going to reap? Love. That's a biblical principle. So the only way for you to know that that biblical principle exists is to stay in the Word. Abide in the Word. Plant that deep in your heart. Learn the character of God. When you start having thoughts that are negative and people attack you, or you're having a terrible day at work or whatever, learn the character of God. God, is what I'm hearing in my mind according to your character? If it's not, reject it. That's simple as that. Learn the lessons of the heroes of the faith. You know, we've done some lessons. We talked about Elijah, and we've talked about David, and we've talked about Joshua. Learn the characters of the heroes of the faith. Where did they succeed? What caused them to succeed? Was it their faith? Was it their undying they did not compromise. What was it? Elijah did not compromise. So what was it that made the heroes of the faith successful? On the other hand, what made some of the heroes of the faith fail? Learn the stories so that we can learn the lessons. Very important. Now, here is one. I'm going to keep harping on this. We talked about it Wednesday night. Read the Word aloud. You don't know how many times I come in this sanctuary, and, you know, I might be... It's really good when you're dealing with the numbers of the church and you're doing all the administrative stuff, and I say, okay, I'm going to take a little step aside. I'm going to come in this sanctuary, and I pick up that Bible. Nobody's here, and I read those Psalms and those proclamations out loud. What happens when we read the Word out loud? Well, a couple of things happen. First of all, I hear it, and it is embedded in my heart and my spirit, and it becomes that solid foundation on which my life is built. And you know, as you're reading those Psalms, you go, wait a minute, that was a promise. Let me read that again. So when you read that out loud, okay, I'm a teacher, I'll revert back to a teacher thing. The way I taught my kids spelling words is we read them out loud. We spelled them out loud. We said them. The more senses that you use to learn something, the better it's going to stick. That's the way it is. So read the word out loud. Also, I believe wholeheartedly that when you read the word out loud, it's like fingernails, another teacher thing, fingernails on the chalkboard to Satan. He does not want to stay in the presence of God's word or praise. So he flees. Well, that means if I'm having a bad day, if I'm discouraged, if I'm frustrated, then I need to read that word even more out loud so my heart and my spirit can hear it. That's critical. You are warring. You have to know, and we've talked about how much, that this is a real battle. We are in a spiritual battle. And this is one of your weapons. And when we pick this up, you are doing battle. So that's critical. When you read the word out loud, your attitude changes. Your attitude changes. I don't know how you can pick this word up and read it and read it and then go out and have a nasty attitude with somebody or a wrong perspective. If I'm really frustrated with circumstances, I'm going to pick up that word and say, God, let me read this word out loud. So it has to be part of you. Your perspective and your outlook changes. Here's just something I wrote in my notes. Very, very important for you to remember. Passive faith. Passive faith won't establish the kingdom of God on earth. We must take it by force. Satan, hurts me a little bit to say this as a grammar teacher. Satan ain't playing, and we can't either. And that's what I feel with Life Church. You know what? We are in a battle for the lives of this community, and we cannot take it lightly. We can't take it lightly. It is imperative that I get up and I study the word and I seek God and I say, God, what is your direction? What is your wisdom? What is it you want me to pray for today? And we need to do that, not just John and Janice. It can't be just us. It has to be you too. It has to be you too. So abiding. To abide, we have to stay in his word. The other thing, we have to stay in prayer and prayer habits. Whether that's prayer, prayer and fasting, we have to stay in those prayer habits. We have to have self-examination prayer. We have to have wisdom, revelation, direction, healing. All of that is critical for us to abide in the Spirit of the Lord, for us to constantly have him filling us and being our resource. So that's how we abide in Christ. Now, I want to turn to Psalm 91. This was the verse that God gave me when I wanted to be all pastorly and come and love on y'all. But you know what I've figured out as a parent and a teacher? Sometimes it's not the lovey, gushy, cushy kind of love. Sometimes it's the tough love that you have to kind of light a fire. And you have to kind of urge and exhort. So this is a beautiful, beautiful psalm. But I want to give you a different thought process here in this psalm. Psalm 91. There's a promise. Now, as we read these first two verses, the whole entire psalm, Psalm 91, depends on us as the reader following through with verse 1 and 2. So let's read Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. What a glorious promise. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. I loved it when we sang that song this morning, and it was, I trust. How much do we really trust God? Are you going to trust God when church looks different than what you've got maybe from your past thoughts of church? Are you going to believe that he is still your source when we're doing church a little differently? Oh, it's so quiet. So y'all still there, right? All right, good, good, good. Verse 3, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper. And from the deadly pestilence, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wing you may seek refuge. What a wonderful promise to hide behind the Lord. Okay? His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day. In other words, nothing can come at you that the Lord is not going to battle for you. Of the pestilence that stalks in darkness or the destruction that lays waste at noon, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands lest you strike your foot against a stone. Now, do you remember where those two verses were? Do you remember when Satan came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness? And those two verses, Satan even quoted to Jesus, didn't he? Okay. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call, love it, love it, love it. Listen to this. He will call upon me, and what does it say? And I will answer. That's a promise of the Lord. If we call upon the Lord, he will answer. He will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. What an awesome, awesome scripture and promise of the Lord. Now, I want to ask you and challenge you to think about it a little bit differently, though. Because if you picture this in your mind, you picture that God is your place of safety. That you're behind the Lord and he's covering you with his wings. Why would the Lord need to cover you with his wings? Does anybody have any ideas? Protection. Why would we need protection? Because we are in a battle. But I want to challenge you to think about something. The heroes of the faith, all those brave people, Elijah and Joshua that we've talked about, David, I'm sure they wanted to hide behind God. But the only reason they hid behind God and they went back to him was for their empowerment. What did they do boldly in the Bible? They warred, didn't they? Did they conquer? Did they were successful in whatever it is, whatever that God gave them as their challenge, whether it was Elijah to show the power and the glory of God, they were successful. You don't need protection if you're not in a battle. You don't need that God to sustain you and to lift you up and to empower you and encourage you and heal you if you haven't been out doing something. That's what these people in the Bible were doing. That's why they're crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, you are a habitation. You are a dwelling place. So they were able to be bold because they abided. That's what I want you to realize, that we are able to be bold because I can go out with the promises knowing that God is always with me, that God is going to speak to me whatever it is I'm supposed to do for him. He's going to go with me as I do it, and if I get knocked down or I get offended or I get hurt, guess what he's going to do? He's going to protect me. He's going to lift me back up. He's going to empower me. Why does God want to do that for us? Because he loves us, yes. Because he wants us to live abundant life, yes. But he wants us to go back, and what is the mission and vision of Life Church? Y'all should know this. I'm asking you, what is the mission and vision? What have we been talking about? Matthew 28:16. What is it? Okay, I'm going to say it. So it is proclaim the kingdom, heal the hurting and make, thank you, make disciples. Yes. But we have to do that. We have to go behind God, get empowered, go back to Him and abide and get that encouragement, that healing, that empowerment. Not just to say, oh, I want you to live and be wonderfully comfortable and all that. Go back out and fight. Amen. There are too many people's lives on the line here for us to just be nice and comfy and sit in nice cushioned seats. And Lord, there's so much we need to accomplish. So, okay, let me get back to my notes. Sorry. So, abiding should make us want to be bold. You know, when we stood here, John and I, it was said over and over again, and we knew that it was not an accident because we've had words spoken over us that we would have a Joshua ministry. And then Tina comes in and she says, I really believe this is a word for you. Be bold and courageous, just like Joshua. Well, you know what? Really, honestly, I'm going to tell you the truth. We're still doing church as usual. Really? I mean, honestly, is that what we're doing? That's kind of what we're doing. We're still doing church as usual. Not that we haven't made great progress. We have made great progress. We've learned the mission and vision of this place and what we're called to. We have come together. We have a core unit of people that are of one mind, one accord. We are on a mission. And that is a great thing. But I'm going to tell you now, it's time to take off. It is time to take off, you guys. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking now, I know some people don't like change. I thrive on change. If I'm in the same place for very long, I go nuts. I love change. I'll try to be patient, and I'm trying to do this, you know, expanding our vision very lovingly, and John doesn't like change, so we balance each other out. So he's my kind of, okay, Janice. But you guys, you know, I look around, and I look at my sons, and I look at my daughter, sorry, and I think, I want a place where they love to go to church. That's always been my prayer. I want a place where they love to go to church. Are we doing that? That's what we have to answer. That's what we have to answer. These are some tough questions. So I want to ask you something. I put down some what ifs. Because now remember this. What is, let's turn to it. Matthew 28:16. I want you to look at that for a second. We're going to read it again. Matthew 28:16. And in my Bible, the heading even says, the church, its worship and work. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And you know what? I love you, and I know some of you doubt, and you go, what are they doing? What are they thinking? But do we trust? Do we trust that he's here? Let me tell you something. God's not just in this building. Do we believe in his power? Do we trust him to know that where two or three are gathered? That means that if Tracy takes a group of people out to lunch, guess where God is? He's at that table. He's at that table. So if we go, what if we sent a team of guys to go play basketball on a Sunday morning with whoever shows up at the park? Is God there? Well, is our team of guys there? God's there. God's there. Oh, I got to finish the scripture, though, because there's an important word in here. All right. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. What is the next word? Go. What?
Go.
What?
Go.
Go. Go. Go. Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Did you know we have all the nations represented in Conyers and Covington in this area? And I know that we're supposed to go to other countries. But right now, my heart's for this place. And not this church, but this area. Go, therefore, and what? Okay, mine says make disciples. I'm in the open Bible. But teach, same thing. Go, therefore, and make disciples, or teach, of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them, here's teach, to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, here's a promise, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So you guys, you know, I can't be limited by any of the circumstances we have. You know what? Our lights are giving us fits. Oh, well. And I know some people that would just really make you crazy, but you know what? God and the Holy Spirit is bigger than the lights. God and the Holy Spirit, bigger than the air conditioning issues. But you know what? God and the Holy Spirit are bigger than this building. And He's in you. Part of the abiding promise is that once you have given your life to the Lord, once you are saved, Christ is in you. You just have to know whether you're listening to the Holy Spirit or to the Christ in you. We forget He's always there. That's a promise. So I want to just throw some things out for you to think about. What would happen if? Okay. Now some of these are just, you know, they're not so brave and daring. They're good. And some are very different. What if we invited our neighborhoods, all these neighborhoods that we've gone and we've knocked on doors and we've met people, what if we targeted them for Thanksgiving dinner? And we asked them in for Thanksgiving dinner and we build relationship and present the gospel? What if? What if we sponsored a job fair here? This is a time when people need jobs. What if that was our project? What if we offered free tutoring and homework help every Tuesday evening? Because one thing that we've learned in this area is that the kids don't have academic support at home. Their parents either don't know how to do it, some of the Hispanic people, they are not able, and some, the parents are working, so they can't provide homework help. So these kids need that. I already gave you the basketball example. What if you came to church and the chairs weren't in here? What if there were tables set up here, worship looked different, maybe worship was without any instruments, and worship was totally dependent on your voice and your interacting in that? What if there were tables in here and we broke up into teams and we did Bible studies? What if we didn't meet on Sunday morning? Okay, got really quiet. What if we volunteered to do a good news club? Do you know what good news clubs? If y'all don't know what that is, a good news club is where you go into the schools. It really only takes a team of about 4 people. You go into the schools, into the aftercare program, and from what I've heard, the aftercare programs from the teachers in this community have told me it's chaos. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, when the kids, the first 2 weeks of school, after they came to church, after coming out of the aftercare, they were wild. And these were our kids that love God, love church, and they're very responsive, wonderfully obedient kids, but they were so stimulated. And I thought, their whole personalities changed because that aftercare program is chaotic. What if we did an aftercare program here? Just a thought. So what I'm asking you to do is you've got to embrace change as much as I do. And it may take laying those things down and those ideas of what we think church is. It's going to take laying that down. You know, my heart breaks when I see age groups that say, well, I don't want to go to church. What has church got to offer me? What do we have to offer them? We have got to learn how to live an authentic Christian life that's real. We're transparent, but we have to go to them. We have to go to them. This is critical. And I'm going to tell you honestly, it's critical for Life Church because this is the way God is moving. And I'm going to tell you honestly, I really feel strongly, and it's been said in our leadership meetings, and it's been said everywhere, not just there. If you go on and you read articles, not just in the Foursquare denomination, this is all over God's move. And if you watch, God will speak. When he's doing a move, he speaks not just to one denomination. It is all over religious leaders. And if you look, they're all asking and saying the same thing. Church, as we used to know it, isn't working. It's not what attracts those people. Now, I'm not saying that what we're doing is wrong. This was what worked. I'm not saying that we'll never, ever meet again. To me, Sunday morning is this. And John said this before. To me, Sunday morning, you come in, you get healed. It's like abiding behind the Lord. You come in, you get healed, you get empowered, you get ministered to. We get our marching orders. We're here for each other. We support each other. But this can't be the evangelistic tool. This can't be it. So we have to figure out, and we have to be open. And, you know, if I look around, most of us are not in the age group that is going to take over after us. I see Spencer here. He's the one in the age group. So, Spence, it's all on you, buddy. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Oh, and if you've heard Spencer speak lately, when he spoke after camp, he probably could do it, too. I believe it. But anyway, we have to replace ourselves. And that means we have to open our minds. The most fulfilling, wonderful thing could be if we could take and open ourselves up to change and what relates to that generation, mentor them, but release them into ministry. That's heritage. If you think about it, what do we have to do? Do I want this church to die as we slowly die off? No. I sure wouldn't be working this doggone hard if I thought, well, we're just going to enjoy church and then it's going to die. Oh my gosh, no. I want this to live on forever. Life Church, not the building. So I'm just going to ask you, you know, I don't know what's in store for this building. I know that this is a huge building, and it's a huge responsibility. It also is a huge potential. So what I'm asking you to do, especially in this next couple of weeks, is really, most of the staff and council are going to be fasting, and we're going to be asking God, speak to us, God, reveal your plan. Reveal the plan that you want to take this church into the next season. And I'm going to wipe my slate clean. I don't want to have any preconceived ideas as to what the plan should be. I want to say, God, because you know what? He has so much more wisdom than us. And when we think we've got it figured out, we don't. So he knows how to do it, and he knows how to do it. One thing I was telling Nick and Laura, so one thing I'm so proud that we do very well is we embrace our youth, and our youth are right now upstairs, and what are they doing? They're teaching the kids. Our youth usher, we put our kids to work, and I know that there is a wonderful blending. So you know what? You've already got an advantage. There is a wonderful blending between the adults and the youth. It is tremendous. That is a gift from the Lord. And if you, I just have to encourage you, I talk about our youth all the time. They love working up there because they feel a purpose. They know that God has something for them to do. And that will change their lives. But anyway, what I'm saying is this. Open your mind. Pray and ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that I need to lay those things down? And God, let's get ready for this next season. And I'll tell you, Miss Pat, I hope I can share this, Miss Pat. Yesterday, I guess I'm going to, so I'll apologize later. I love you, Miss Pat. I love Miss Pat so much. We have a weekly conversation, and she has all these ideas, and I love it because we talk every week about her ideas. But yesterday, Miss Pat said, "Well, I don't like change, but I see it's necessary, and I see it's going to have to happen." And that's our elder there. And you know what? She has a heart for this generation to come in and take over. And we cried yesterday as we prayed and we said, "God, we just want your wisdom and your plan. Above all, it's not us, it's God." So I'm just going to ask you to really seek the Lord this week. You'll see some things. And I told you about 3 weeks ago, I said, "You know, it'd be fun if I came in here every single week and did one thing different." And I've been doing that. And you know what? That was just to get you used to the big thing. So just to get you out of your comfort zone. You know, we get too comfortable. I started to show a video, and it at the end of it, it was a little too rough, I thought. So the pastor and me came out. But it was a video, and it was a lady, and she went in. And she went in and sat in this beautiful chair. It was like big and cushy. Could imagine reading a book. And she was supposed to be in church. She had a big afghan over, and she's snuggling into her thing. And this guy who's supposed to represent Jesus came along, and he said, "Wow, you look comfortable." And she said, "Yes, I am. I'm in my same seat. I sit everywhere. I sit this every week. I sit here. And I've got my coffee right here, and I got my Bible. I'm ready. I'm ready." And he said, "Yeah, you need to get up. Get up. Get up and go." And that's the cry of my heart. We cannot get comfortable. So, okay. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this place. And I thank you, God, for this people. Because, God, you've put us here together for a purpose. It was not by accident. It's not by accident that any one person is here. And so, God, you've birthed a team here of people. So now we ask you, God, as we seek you this week, I pray that you would anoint our eyes and our ears to hear and to see your plan so very clearly. I pray, God, that you would show each individual person their part in that plan. And I pray as we go through our week, God, grant us favor in every place we walk. And I pray, God, birth evangelism in our hearts. I pray that wherever we go, God, we would burn with the story of you. And I pray we would burn to share that with the people around us, God. Let no one live without your spirit and your love, your salvation in them, Father. Put that in our hearts. We give you this day, God, and we just open our minds. We bow our agendas to you, Lord, and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And I want to read just one scripture back again, Psalm 91, one more time. Those first two verses as your blessing as you leave today. And remember this. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. No matter how bold and courageous we get, he is our fortress. Thank you. All right. Have a wonderful, blessed, and favored week. Aww.